Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, October 13, 2024, Romans.
All right, before we get started, first of all, and she's not here because she's teaching the little ones, Sherry Bingham, her birthday was yesterday, and we had a humdinger of a birthday for Sherry yesterday, and but she's teaching the little people now. That's Deacon Bingham's wife, Sherry Bingham. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are in Romans chapter 8, this great epistle. Romans chapter 8, now the spotlight goes on the third person of the Trinity. The spotlight is on God the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 1 and 2 sounds like this, corrected translation. Therefore, now, there is no judgment for the ones who are in Christ Jesus, in union with Christ, as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. Verse 2, because the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the principle of the sin nature and spiritual death. And then that brought us to verse 3, where we have the limitation of the Mosaic law given in the first half of verse 3. For what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak, because of the flesh, the sin nature. And at that point, we noted the limitations of the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law is not an instrument of salvation. It cannot provide justification. And we went through several passages and saw that. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified. And that is the Greek word dikaiō. Looks like that in the Greek, D-I-K-A-I-O, long O. Now, throughout the book of Romans, the dikaiō word group is used all throughout Romans. Dikaiō is the word that's usually translated justify. It literally means to declare one to be righteous. That's dikaiō. And then from... there's a whole word group, dikaiō. There's a noun that comes from that verb, dikaiosune. And that's D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N, long E, dikaiosune. That's the noun, righteousness. So dikaiō literally means to declare righteous. That's what justify means. From that comes the noun dikaiosune, righteousness, and the adjective dikaios, looks like this, D-I-K-A-I-O-S. That is the adjective righteous. And there's another one we haven't had yet, but we're going to have it this morning, and that is dikaioma. D-I-K-A-I long O-M-A, dikaioma. And this is righteous requirement. Righteous requirement. That's coming up in our study this morning. So here's this whole word group found in Romans again and again and again. And Galatians 2:16 says, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not declared righteous, is not justified by the works of the law, but he is justified or declared righteous through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we may be declared righteous, justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the Mosaic law. Since by the works of the Mosaic law shall no flesh be declared righteous or justified. Galatians 2:16. But he's been using this. Paul uses this in our study in Romans 3:20. He says, because by the works of the law, the Mosaic law, no flesh will be declared righteous in his sight. For through the Mosaic law comes the knowledge of sin. The law points out we have a problem. And the problem is we are all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the righteousness of God. And if we're going to live with God forever, we have to be as good as God is. We have to have His righteousness. And that only comes one way, by faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Romans 3:28. For we maintain that a man is declared righteous by faith, apart from the works of the Mosaic law. So the Mosaic law cannot provide justification. Galatians 2:16, Romans 3:20 and 28. We saw it also in Acts 13:38 and 39. We saw it in Philippians 3, verse 9. The Mosaic law cannot give life. Galatians 3:21 and 22. The Mosaic law cannot provide the indwelling and filling of the Spirit. Galatians 3, 1-5. It cannot solve the problem of the sin nature. Our passage, Romans 8, verse 3. The Mosaic law was never designed to be an instrument for salvation, spirituality, or spiritual maturity. The Mosaic law is weak because of the sin nature. At physical birth, the sin nature is the target for the real imputation of Adam's original sin, resulting in spiritual death. We're born physically alive, but spiritually dead. It is impossible for the Mosaic law to solve mankind's problem of spiritual death. As the marriage counselor of the unbeliever, all the Mosaic law can do is advise the unbeliever that he has a very bad marriage to the sin nature. He is in spiritual death. And therefore, he can point, then the Mosaic law points to the solution, and the solution is Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Mosaic law advises the unbeliever that he has a problem. Codex number one, the commandments, all of the thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, pointing out the fact that we all do what it says not to do. And all have sinned and come short of the righteousness of God, the glory of God. So the commandments, codex number one, say you got a problem. And then the Mosaic law points to the solution, codex number two, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The distortion occurs when mankind tries to keep the works of the Mosaic law for salvation or for spirituality or for spiritual maturity. Now, in the rest of verse 3, God accomplished what it was impossible for the Mosaic law to do. God the Father sent His own Son, the eternal Son of God, from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle the world will ever know. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, the eternal Son of God took on true humanity so that now He could go to the cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. On the cross, God the Father poured out the sins of the world on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then He judged the sins of the world in Christ on the cross. Now, anyone, any place, anywhere can receive eternal salvation by simply believing in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So, verse 3, we have one final phrase in verse 3 that needs to be exegeted, but verse 3 sounds like this: for what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak because of the flesh, the sin nature, God the Father, accomplished by sending His own Son, the procession of God the Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the first advent of our Lord, in the likeness of sinful flesh, true humanity, and to atone for sin, unlimited atonement, the sins of the whole world. Now there's one final phrase, condemned. He condemned sin in the flesh. He, God the Father, condemned the sin in the flesh, in the body of Jesus Christ. We have the aorist active indicative of catecrino, plus the accusative singular of hamartia with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of sarx with the definite article. The verb here, catecrino, K-A-T-A-K-R-I-N, long O. Catecrino. All right, a couple of things on catecrino. First of all, catecrino literally means to condemn someone or something. To condemn someone or something. It means to judge someone or something. It is the execution of a sentence. That's catecrino. Two, the judgment of the sins of the world took place on the cross. The judgment of the sins of the world took place on the cross. Three, God the Father imputed the sins of the whole world to Jesus Christ on the cross. And then God the Father judged the sins of the world in the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, in His body. They were all poured out in the body of Christ and judged in Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's why I've heard people say, and some of you have heard people say, I don't believe that you're saved just by believing in Christ. That's too easy. It's easy for us, but that's called grace. Grace means we don't earn it, we don't deserve it in any way. We are spiritually dead and totally depraved. We don't deserve it at all. So, yes, it's very easy for us. That's the grace of God. It's easy for anyone, any place, anywhere. You simply believe in Jesus Christ and you have eternal salvation. And you can never, ever lose that eternal salvation. And while that's easy for us, it costs God everything. It costs God everything. It costs God the Father His Son, His eternal Son, to leave heaven, to take on true humanity, humble Himself, take on true humanity, and then go to a cross and have the sins of the whole world poured out on Christ. And when that took place, Jesus Christ screamed out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then that's answered in the psalm, because you are holy. God is a holy God. And as a holy God, the sins of the world had to be poured out on Christ, and then the sins of the world judged in Jesus Christ. And that's what happened. It cost God the Father everything. It cost God the Son everything. So that you can have salvation by grace. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. So God the Father imputed the sins of the whole world to Jesus Christ on the cross. And God the Father judged the sins of the whole world in the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Four, hamartia here is the word for sin. All personal sins in history were poured out on Christ on the cross, and they were judged in Jesus Christ by God the Father once and for all. Once and for all. All personal sins in history were poured out on Christ on the cross and were judged in Jesus Christ by God the Father once and for all. Now the aorist tense of katakrino is a constative aorist. Now this is very important. Constative aorist. Now, an aorist, if you emphasize the beginning of the aorist, that's an ingressive aorist. If you emphasize the end, that's a culminative aorist. But a constative aorist looks at everything here. And this goes from 12 noon to 3 p.m. From 12 noon to 3 p.m. That's the constative aorist here. Viewing the 3 hours of darkness and judgment in its entirety. The active voice, God the Father, performed the action of judging the sins of the world in the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The indicative mood is declarative. This is absolute truth. Absolute truth of the Word of God. And then the prepositional phrase, and plus the dative singular of sarx, in the flesh or in the body of Jesus Christ. Point five, God the Father judged the sins of the world in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. So God accomplished what the Mosaic law could not do. That's Romans 8, verse 3. For what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak, because of the flesh, sin nature, God, God the Father, accomplished by sending His own Son, the procession of God the Son, from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the first Advent, in the likeness of sinful flesh, true humanity, and to atone for sin, unlimited atonement. He, God the Father, judged sin, the sins of the whole world, in the flesh, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. All right. One. The Mosaic law was not able to accomplish salvation. It was never intended for that purpose. God's the one who provided us with the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law is absolutely perfect. It comes from God. It has a purpose, but the Mosaic law, it was not the purpose of the Mosaic law to provide salvation or spiritual maturity or spirituality. So the Mosaic law was not able to accomplish salvation. Two, but in God's perfect plan, the Mosaic law became the marriage counselor of the unbeliever. The marriage counselor of the unbeliever, revealing that the unbeliever has a problem. And that problem is sin. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the absolute righteousness of God. And if we're going to live with God forever, we have to be as good as God is. We have to have His righteousness. And that doesn't come by keeping the works of the law. That only comes one way, by faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So, but in God's perfect plan, the Mosaic law became the marriage counselor of the unbeliever, revealing that the unbeliever has a problem, Codex number one, and then pointing to the solution, the Lord Jesus Christ, Codex number two. Point three. Romans 8:3 says, what the Mosaic law was not able to do, God did. What the Mosaic law was not able to do, God did. Operation Grace, the plan of salvation, the cross. So what the Mosaic law was not able to do, God did. Operation Grace, the cross. Four, God the Father accomplished this through the incarnation plan that He had for His eternal Son. God the Father accomplished this through the incarnation plan that He had for His eternal Son. The incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God that took place on that very first Christmas. And that is the greatest miracle the world will ever know. Five, this enabled the Anointed One, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to take on true humanity, go to a cross, be imputed with the sins of the world, and then be judged for those sins once and for all. This enabled the anointed one. That's what the word Messiah means, anointed one. The word Christ means the anointed one. Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the anointed one of God the Father. So this enabled the anointed one, the Messiah, Christ, to take on true humanity, to go to a cross, be imputed with the sins of the world, and then judge for those sins once and for all. Six. The weakness of the Mosaic law to provide salvation does not detract from the divine purpose of the Mosaic law. There's nothing wrong with the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law is not sinful. It's from God. It's perfect. So the weakness of the Mosaic law to provide salvation does not detract in any way from the divine purpose of the Mosaic law. Seven, the weakness of the Mosaic law comes from man's distortion of it, not God's purpose for it. The weakness of the Mosaic law comes from man's distortion of it. It was never intended to be teach salvation by works, by keeping the works of the law. That was not the purpose of the Mosaic law. So the weakness of the Mosaic law comes from man's distortion of it, not God's purpose for it. Eight. The divine purpose of the Mosaic law continues in spite of man's failure and man's distortion of the Mosaic law. Man has tried to distort the Mosaic law into a system of salvation by works. Salvation is not by works. That's a false gospel. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So the divine purpose of the Mosaic law continues in spite of man's failure and distortion of the Mosaic law. Now, in Romans 8 verse 4, we're going to have the next word in this word group of dikaiō. Dikaiō, declare righteous. Dikaiosune, righteousness. Dikaios, righteous. We're going to have the next word in that same word group, dikaioma. So it says here in the King James, we always start with the thundering diction of the King James, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Okay. This is the nominative singular of dikaioma with a definite article, plus the genitive singular of nomos with a definite article, plus hina with the aorist passive subjunctive of plerao, plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego. All right. So here we have the new word in this word group of dikaioma. D-I-K-A-I long O-M-A. Dikaioma. All right, let's get a couple of points on dikaioma. One, dikaioma means requirement, specifically righteous requirement. Righteous requirement means regulation, righteous requirement. Point two, dikaioma is the righteous requirement of the nomos, the Mosaic law. Dikaioma is the righteous requirement of the nomos, the Mosaic law. Three, The righteous requirement of the Mosaic Law is that you have to be as good as God is. You have to have the righteousness that comes from God. To live with God forever, you have to have the righteousness that God is. Absolute righteousness. So the righteous requirement of the Mosaic Law is that you have to be as good as God is. That's dikaioma. You have to have plus R, the righteousness that comes from God. 4, Romans 8:4 is a purpose clause. A purpose clause. Hina plus the subjunctive of plerao introduces a purpose clause. So we have, for the purpose that you might fulfill the righteous requirement of the Mosaic Law. Because we have with dikaioma the verb plerao, to fulfill. For the purpose that you might fulfill, plerao, the righteous requirement, dikaioma, of the Mosaic Law, the nomos. See, isn't it, this is great in the Greek. I don't want anybody falling out of their chair. Better fasten your seatbelt so you don't lose any of you. I don't see the excitement in your soul. This was very exciting when I was studying this. I must have fell out of my chair 4 or 5 times. And I thought, oh, we're going to have holy rollers in the church when I teach this. They'll be down and laying on the floor and doing all kinds of things. Nah, I don't think so. So Romans 8:4 is a purpose clause. Hina plus the subjunctive of plerao introduces a purpose clause. For the purpose that you might fulfill, plerao, the righteous requirement, the dikaioma of the nomos, the Mosaic Law. 5. Romans 8:4 is a continuation of verse 3. That's a deep point. Make sure you... I don't know if you can keep track of that one. 4 follows 3. Hey, great Greg Morton, he has it. He's nailed it. Romans 8:4 is a continuation of verse 3, and it gives the divine purpose of the salvation work of Christ on the cross. That is, divine righteousness imputed to the believer at salvation, faith in Christ. So Romans 8:4 is a continuation of verse 3 and gives the divine purpose of the salvation work of Christ on the cross. That is, divine righteousness imputed to the believer at the very moment of faith in Jesus Christ. 6. Justification by faith in Jesus Christ, being imputed with divine righteousness at salvation, fulfills the righteous requirement of the Mosaic Law. Justification by faith in Jesus Christ, being imputed with the divine righteousness at salvation, fulfills the righteous requirement of the Mosaic Law. Now, with God's imputed righteousness in us, we are as good as God is. We have the righteousness that comes from God. 7. If God provides the Mosaic Law with a limited purpose, and He does, if God provides the Mosaic Law with a limited purpose, and He does, He also provides something with total purpose, and that's Operation Grace, the cross. Salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Justification by faith. Being imputed with the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So if God provides the Mosaic Law with a limited purpose, and he does, he also provides something with a total purpose, Operation Grace, the cross. Salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, that is justification by faith, being imputed with the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Point eight. Now, the triumph. Triumph. And some of you are not even with me because you're Oregon fans, and they triumphed yesterday. They beat the number two team in the country. Oregon was number three. Ohio State was number two. Oregon beat Ohio State. They triumphed. So do you see, this has got football included here. Just so you can really get a hold of what's going on here. Now the triumph of imputed righteousness is the attainment of spiritual maturity. Now the triumph of imputed righteousness is the attainment of spiritual maturity. Living the spiritual life that God has for us in the church age by the power of God the Holy Spirit, by the filling of the Spirit, and combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit, we grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in our heart. And now, you see, when God imputes his righteousness to us, a grace pipeline is established. Instantly, a grace pipeline is established. And that grace pipeline, let's go ahead. You've seen this about a million times. That's okay. Place your faith in Jesus Christ, and at that very instant, the justice of God imputes to each one of us the righteousness of God. And that establishes the grace pipeline. You now have God's righteousness residing in you. On the other end is the justice of God. Instantly, at that moment of faith in Christ, God sends down that grace pipeline 40 salvation blessings. 40 salvation blessings instantly at the moment of faith in Christ, above and beyond anything you could ever ask or think. And then every single day, every day from that day of salvation right up to today, God has been sending down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you can fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. And what is that plan, will, and purpose for your life? To grow up. We're given a mandate. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up spiritually in the grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Attain spiritual maturity. And when you attain spiritual maturity, well, now you have fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And now God can send down that grace pipeline. And this is the triumph. Here's the triumph. Greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings in time, and we're not here that long a time. Greater grace blessings in time, and then following the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God, the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, we will all be evaluated. Evaluated on how did you do with what God gave to you. He gave you the 40 most amazing salvation blessings at the moment of salvation. He's given you every single day you're alive on this earth logistical grace, blessing, and support. so that you can make good decisions. You have a free will. You can make good decisions or bad decisions. That's up to you. If you make bad decisions, well, God will spank you. He spanks you because He loves you. And if you keep on making bad decisions, bad decisions, bad decisions, you'll run out of options and you'll die. You'll die the sin unto death. You'll die under maximum judgment. But you won't lose your salvation. But you have a free will. And sadly to say, today, most believers are making bad decisions. They're fulfilling, operating by the lust patterns of their sin nature and not by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. They're not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. But if you make those good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and reach spiritual maturity, now the triumph occurs. God wants to send down to that righteousness in you greater grace, blessings in time, and crowns and rewards. I'm studying in 2 John. I know we're in 1 John on Thursday. I'm in 2 John. Oh, wait till we get to verse 7. I tell you, my heart, I had palpitations and the whole thing. Got to verse 7. No verse in the Word of God covers about, except 2 John verse 7. Which, don't lose out. Don't lose out on the reward. On the reward, the crowns and rewards that God wants to give you at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't lose out. Sad to say, but most Christians today are going to lose out. Lose out. Oh, they won't lose their salvation. They'll be in heaven forever, but no greater grace blessing for eternity. No crowns, no rewards. They'll be in heaven. And they aren't going to be going around saying, oh, I'm sad. No, they're in heaven. They're happy to be there. But God has reward, crowns to pour out on you, the winner believer. And those crowns and rewards glorify God forever and ever and ever. That's the triumph. That's the triumph. So, point 8. Now, the triumph of imputed righteousness is the attainment of spiritual maturity by living the spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And this is all stated in one purpose clause. Romans 8:4. I was hoping that yes, but we're going to have to take a break, and you're going to have to go out and rebound and come back in here, see, so that you can handle from point 9. See. Take a break.